Man, I tell you what a fantastic film. It's one of the reasons I love this series every year is because we look at films that are some of the biggest ones to hit our streaming services, our big screens, and the spiritual fibers of faith and really the spiritual questions that these films, you know, kind of raise for us. So, man, excited to dive into this one this weekend. My name's Kurt. It's great to have you with us this weekend. And if it's your first time with us, we certainly hope it's not your last time with us. And you got free movie tickets coming your way, so make sure you fill out that connection card. And let's make some noise for those of who are joining us online, Crosspoint Online, On Demand, YouTube Online. Man, so excited to have you guys with us. And this movie, Coda, is so fascinating because it's an interesting movie. It actually won Best Picture at the Academy Awards. How many of you knew that? How many of you were aware of that? I don't think anybody, right? You know why? Because these two guys right here, Chris Rock and Will Smith, like it kind of took over the Academy Awards this year, right? Like, it's just painful to watch right there. And it kind of overshadowed that this was the very first film to go straight to a streaming platform and actually win Best Picture at the Academy Awards. And so, fantastic story. Coda is really the story of Ruby, who you saw in the trailer there. And she can hear, but the rest of her family cannot. They're all deaf. And so she's being raised in a family of deaf adults. And as she gets to the end of her high school career, she really has this tension between going and pursuing this love for music that she has and staying to help the family and the family business, because she is the access point to her family and the family business with the rest of the hearing world. And so her passion for music, I mean, her family can't understand this partly because they can't hear and they just don't understand it. And this movie is fantastic on so many fronts. I'm telling you, everything from, you know, celebrating the power of family to the power of relationships, you know, specifically with adult parents and their kids who maybe don't always see eye to eye, to just this sense of the vibrancy of the marginalized communities, whether intentional or not, and just the ability, the resilience. Where I think this movie perhaps intersects all of our lives is really in this theme that really comes out, and it's this idea of the importance of being emotionally aware of what's going on inside of us. And let's be honest, that's a challenge for most of us, right? And it's a challenge for most of us because many of us, you know, we were raised at some point being told, hey, don't show your emotions, right? Somewhere along the way, we got this message that like showing our emotions makes us really, really weak. And so Ruby and her family have to work through this, and she has to learn to kind of recognize what's going on inside of her. And in the midst of that, she actually finds her voice, but it's also because her family is willing to lean in and look in at what's going on inside of them as well. And so today, I really want to use this as a way to help us take some steps toward becoming better versions of you. How do you become better versions of you emotionally? And we're going to look at some practices and things that we can do, and in fact, almost a magic ingredient, if you will, that really allows us to not only pay attention to what's going on inside of us, but what's coming out of us as well. Now, one of the reasons I think this is so important in our world today is I think in our Western American culture, we spend a lot of time on our outward appearance. We spend a lot of time, it's a billion-dollar industry, you know, our clothing industry, how we look. Even just like anti-aging serum and creams, have you ever noticed? It's like a billion-dollar industry as well. We all want to look younger than we are. I mean, you got gym memberships and eating plans. I mean, all the things that help us, you know, look good externally. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that, I don't know if you're this way, but like for me, when I see like perhaps like on Facebook, I run into like photos of like people I went to school with, maybe high school with, or I see like photos from our class reunions, which my 30th just passed. I look at those and I'm like, oh my gosh. I actually walk my phone to my kids sometimes. I'm like, do I look this old? These people look like they could be my parents, and they're like my age. And so we focus on the external, right? We're always like kind of assessing, like, how do we look? And do we look as old as we're supposed to? And how do we look younger than we are? But, you know, I just wonder how different our lives might be if we spend as much time thinking about our emotional practices as we do our physical habits and practices. I mean, what would happen if we got all up like in our feelings? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, Kiki, do you love me? You know, like what if we actually like got up in that and actually paid attention to those things? Because I think the route that most of us take is we just kind of keep kicking the can down the road, you know, emotionally. And we're almost afraid to like lift the rock and look underneath it and see what's going on, you know, underneath the surface. And sometimes it's like, you know, listen, everybody's life and my life is better if I don't, you know, kind of peel back the onion and take a look at some of the stuff going on inside of me. But we all know that the longer you wait to get to that, the worse it ultimately gets. In fact, another way to say it is later problems actually become greater problems. In fact, one of my friends told me last weekend, Julie Butchenkirk, by the way, did you guys enjoy Julie last weekend? Wasn't she fantastic? Oh my gosh. If you missed Thor and her unpacking of the real reason you're angry with God, man, go back and check it out. It's online, crosspointweb.org/watch, and you can find it there. She said to me as we were talking about this, she said, you know, Kerr, I've just discovered that whatever you don't work out, you end up acting out. And so as we look at, like, how do we pay attention to some of the stuff going on inside of us, I'm going to make kind of an assumption, and I don't think this is a big assumption in light of the fact that, you know, as I'm standing here in front of you and talking and you're watching and sitting here in the room, I'm going to kind of assume that the fact that you're here and watching and listening kind of tells me that you have a desire to change, that you're here because you recognize there's a gap between where you are and you actually want to get better. All right, that you want to get more out of life. You're not completely satisfied with where you are right now, which I just want to tell you, I admire that about you. I admire that about myself. I mean, that posture of saying, how do I get from where I am to a different place? Because I'm going to be honest, I'm not exactly the place I used to be, but there's certainly a gap between where I am and where I want to be. And I want to continue to close that gap. And so I'm just assuming that you being here and you tuning in online and joining us from wherever you're joining us from, that you're kind of like, okay, why would I not want to help continue to create a better version of who I am? And honestly, like, we run into people who don't want to, right? You have people in your life who don't really want to grow. And they're hard to deal with, right? Like, it's really hard to be around them. And so I hope we can have the courage to kind of dig into one of the themes that jumps out throughout this movie, and that's this idea of how we often talk ourselves out of what we feel. I don't know if you've ever done that. I don't know if you've ever said, you know, I feel this way, but I don't know why I feel this way. I shouldn't feel this way. I mean, everybody else around me seems to be doing fine, but here's how I feel. And so we say things like, well, it's fine. You know, and when we say it's fine, it's almost like we just say, okay, I don't even want to deal with it, so I'm just going to push it aside. I'm going to just take it as it comes. Or perhaps, you know, you might say, well, it's not a big deal. I mean, you know, the pain from, like, some things that happened in my childhood, it's not a big deal. Or, you know, my parents' divorce or my divorce, it's not a big deal. Or, you know, that first business, it never got off the ground. That sports team that I didn't make 15 years ago, it's not a big deal. Or perhaps we even say things like, it's not my fault. Right? I mean, what happened to me, I didn't choose. Somebody else, you know, kind of chose that. But see, here's the thing. I mean, you still have a responsibility because you perhaps have some emotions that continue to kind of stir up around that thing. You have feelings around that thing. And so you have the responsibility to decide, okay, how am I going to navigate that, even if I didn't choose it, even if it's not my fault? At the same time, it's not like we're trying to create a Blair Witch Project, right? Like, where you just turn out the lights and you try to, you know, look for something difficult or scary and only to find out there's nothing really there. No, we're not trying to stir something up that's not there. It's just that this movie gives us a great opportunity to actually perhaps lean into some of the things that we're feeling and to validate them so we can get to healthier places, so we can actually be better versions of ourselves and honestly, like, a better version of the person God ultimately created you to be. Because see, here's the thing, you have a heavenly Father. And whether or not you really believe that or not, you have a heavenly Father who loves you and he wants certain things for you. And yet your ability to fully experience that really depends to some degree on whether we're willing to face, you know, kind of whatever's in there. Now, Jesus, on a number of occasions, he would kind of illustrate in a number of different places what this looked like to his followers and people who were trying to, like, figure him out. And over again, he would kind of show, hey, one of the ways that really helps you kind of continue to improve yourself is to do self-reflection, to use reflection of what's going on in here and kind of pay attention to that. In fact, there's one particular episode we're going to look at today, and you may have heard this before. In fact, you may go, oh yeah, I've heard this before. You may not, didn't even know it came from Jesus, perhaps. You know, somebody shared this with me just recently in a way that I've read this before, but I never understood it in the context of our emotional health. And so Jesus, in this context, he's asking us to do something that's pretty challenging and pretty difficult because we like to, like, point the finger at everybody else. And he's like, no, I actually want you to, like, look at yourself. And so Jesus, he says something so profound. He's out doing one of his presentations and he did it. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, which is really this teaching he did on the side of a, wow, look at you guys paying attention, on the side of a mountain. They weren't very creative in their name, you know, naming of things. But nonetheless, here's what the gospel writer Matthew tells us Jesus said. Jesus was like, hey, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. Now, this is a pretty common thing, right? And like social media just exasperated this for us. Like, cause like we get on social media and everybody on social media feels like they should have a voice and they have the right to have a voice in everybody else's life, right? Like, yeah, I'm entitled to kind of share with you all my thoughts. And Jesus, these mediums just kind of like illustrate how quickly we can move to paying attention to the speck in everybody else's eye. And Jesus kind of like, hey, I just want to encourage you, like before you call out the speck in everybody else, why don't you just like turn around and look inside for a moment? All right, meaning, you know, you pay so much attention to the little piece of sawdust in other people's eye, but you got like a 2x4 like hanging out of yourself, right? You got this big old giant thing that you're missing. And then he goes on, he says, how can you say to your brother or your sister, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? Now, I think this is really helpful for people who, especially people who are in like the service industry or you're caring for other people on a regular basis. If you're in the medical field, if you're perhaps an educator, you know, if maybe, you know, you're caring for your kids or your adult parents perhaps, to wrestle this to the ground right here. Because what Jesus is really saying is, hey, you can help someone else, but you can't do that fully if you've not done the hard work of looking inside yourself first. I mean, you can't carry other people well until you like learn how to care for yourself well. And then he goes on and he says something really fascinating. He says, you hypocrite. It's like, whoa, Jesus, like that's a little stark, a little strong right there. But he's like, no, isn't it true though? He's like, isn't that pretty hypocritical to be like paying attention to all the little things in somebody else's life when you got your own stuff? He's like, instead, why don't you do this? He says, why don't you first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you're going to be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I mean, basically, it's like, if you want to be the kind of person that is helpful to other people, you've got to be emotionally aware of what's going on inside of you. I mean, you can't help somebody else with their stuff, you know, until you've done the work of figuring out, okay, what's going on in me? Another way to say it is you can't get to where you really want to be until you know exactly where you are. Does anybody remember like when you actually had to go to the mall to buy something? Remember that? Remember like you had to drive and park and walk? And like this is one of the places the pandemic was kind of beautiful for the guys at least, right? Because like all the stores worked out their like online ordering and pickup to where I don't have to go to the mall very often at all. And it's a good thing because I think I'm mall challenged. I really do. I think like I get in a mall and I cannot find my way out. It's like a paper bag for me. I mean, I have no problem with directions on roads when I'm driving. I teach my kids, you know, north, south, east, west. I run with my daughter. I'm like, hey, which direction are we running? She's like, we're running north. I have no problem. You could put me in a mall, I just do circles. I'm like, there's men's again. There's juniors. You would think, I'm like, Julie, I don't even know where the exit is. I cannot find the exit. You think the one thing that I want to find, I can't even find it. I get lost. And so, you know, if you remember like when you used to go to, maybe you still go to the mall. You go to the mall and maybe you're looking for a store and you're not exactly sure where it is. So where's the first place you go to try to figure that out? Go to the directory. Yeah, you go, remember like the kiosk right out there in the middle, like right in front of the pretzel place. It smells like heaven. It's like cinnamon, you know, sugar and yeast, right? Like, whoo, man. And so you go to that kiosk and you go, okay, Spencer Gifts, B17. That's how long it's been since I've been to the mall. But like, that's not the only thing you need to know, right? What else do you need to know? What other information you need? Yeah, you got to look for like the star, right? Remember the little star that says you are here, right? You got to figure out where that is. And why does that matter? Well, because you can't get to where you want to be until you know exactly where you are. And see, I think this is what Jesus was challenging us with here when he was kind of sharing this introspective picture for us. I mean, meaning like, don't you want to be the kind of person that's emotionally healthy? Don't you want to kind of be the person that can emotionally like regulate yourself so you're not going and flying off the handle all the time? Don't you want to be the kind of person that can like interpret other people's feelings and go, okay, you know, perhaps, I mean, they're struggling because they're dealing with stuff just like I'm dealing with, and I don't fully know what it's like to walk in their shoes. And I mean, don't you think that'd make you a better parent and a better spouse and a better friend and a better, you know, educator and a better boss and leader? I mean, of course it would. And to be able to do that, the place that we've got to start is we got to go, okay, where am I emotionally? You know, what's really going on inside? And Jesus says, hey, quit paying attention to the little, you know, flecks of sawdust and just turn around and kind of face internally and say, okay, what's going on in me? This is one of the most powerful themes that we see in this movie, Coda. And it kind of begs the question, you know, what if we were just more emotionally curious? I mean, if we could do that right now, if we could all just be more emotionally curious, we could just like wrap up, do a song, and leave right now, all right? But, you know, for some of us, I don't know that we fully know how to do that. And so, you know, you might be saying, okay, well, how do we do that? What does it mean to be emotionally curious? Well, three things. It's a great question. Three things I want to give to you to kind of begin to dig into this. First thing is this. First thing we have to do is we have to start to pay attention to your emotional pain. Pay attention to your emotional pain. Pay attention to the things that have hurt you. You might go, well, why? Why would I want to give much, you know, time or energy to that? Well, because usually that's kind of where it starts. That's where a lot of your emotion kind of comes from. And that's what gets our attention. Pain gets our attention. That's kind of the point of pain. I mean, if somebody, you know, comes up to you and says, hey, tell me about your childhood. And you're like, well, I guess it's been a while, so it's pretty painful that I can talk about it. You know, I think it's been long enough I can talk about it. And then you get all emotional and you find out, gosh, I can't really talk about that. You should pay attention to that. That means there's probably some emotional pain right there. Or if somebody says, hey, you know, tell me about your first marriage or that breakup or that business that, you know, never got off the ground or that first job that just did not go the way that you hoped. And if you have if you find that there's just some emotions that begin to well up and you find it difficult, or tell me about your Christmas traditions as a kid, like what that looked like. If you find that there's pain, you got to pay attention to that. That's what pain does. Pain goes, whoa, pay attention. It's like an indicator light on your dashboard. And hopefully what it does is it allows us to not only see our failings for what they really are, but also our challenges and our problems for what they really are, but more than that, to see how that actually affects our soul. Because that's what it does. It actually deeply affects our soul. It affects a core part of you, and you can't be the best version of who you were created to be until you kind of dig into that. Now, as we talk about this, like in today's culture and the temperament of our times and so on and so forth, sometimes it's easy to misunderstand this as a license to be self-centered. All right, and we all have somebody in our life probably that's on this self-exploration journey, and they've been out for like years, and their life's like pretty much, they're trying to figure themselves out, but their life's pretty much all about themselves. They're like, why doesn't you take care of me? I'm trying to figure me out. I'm trying to take care of what's best for me. And honestly, if you have somebody that in your life, or perhaps that's you, the best thing you can do if you've become so self-focused, best thing you can do is to actually get outside yourself and like serve other people, to put your focus on other people. It's one of the reasons here at Crosspoint we put so much emphasis into volunteering and to serving, not just to like fill holes. We're like, it's a pathway. When you begin to put your attention and say, okay, I'm going to focus on someone else, doing something for someone else, you begin to take your eyes off yourself, and it does amazing things for you. It actually grows you in amazing ways. So, I mean, if you're like, gosh, I've become kind of self-absorbed, perhaps you need to join a team and start focusing on someone else for a bit. Because see, when you take the spotlight off yourself, what begins to happen, you kind of put that spotlight on somebody else, and what happens is you begin going, oh gosh, like there's other people's lives that are just like mine. All right, there's other people that have challenges or problems, and maybe mine aren't as big as I thought they were. I have a friend who used to always say, man, people wish they had my problems. And I love that line, because he's like, yeah, when you start talking to other people, all of a sudden my problems don't quite see as big as I thought they were. And so I'm not advocating for like a self-centered, self-focused, you know, posture. Not at all. I'm advocating for self-care. What does it mean to be a healthier, you know, emotionally engaged you? Not being emotionally self-centered, but having practices and habits that foster a healthier you. I mean, it's really the art of self-reflection. What would it look like for me every day to kind of take myself apart on a daily basis so I can know what's going on inside of me? In fact, we had a great picture of this from a guy in the Old Testament part of the Bible.